Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. What does it mean to bow? What does it mean to lower oneself? In today's podcast and post, we return to our series entitled Psalms Greatest Hits with part four of Psalm 119 entitled Deleth. Join me now as I compare how the psalmist approaches suffering to that of our modern world. We'll learn that strength for life is not gained in avoidance or through altering our chemistry or circumstances, but by clinging to the words of God in and through our suffering. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. We are all multidimensional, multifaceted. We got a lot of things going. We wear a lot of hats, and that's important. It makes you complex. It makes you interesting. Your story is way better than you imagine it is, way more interesting. So tell somebody, talk to somebody, engage with somebody. I'm so glad to have you here, folks. I don't know if you lost a bet, if you just stumbled across this, if you've been listening for a long time or not, but wherever and whenever you find this, I do hope that it serves you. It is not your everyday kind of content. I say this a lot, but I feel like I need to repeat this portion of it because we do have so many new people just kind of clicking on and clicking through and wondering what this is all about. And so let me just give you a little background. Every 10 weeks or so, we pause whatever series we're doing and we enter another series that I'm doing. It's called Psalms Greatest Hits. And it's a time to literally just bathe ourselves in some of the words and contemplation and reflections that emerge out of the pages of the Psalms, which is a sacred text that is shared by many religions, and therefore it's common ground for all people. On another level, it's very human. It's very real. It's very much the experience of everyone. And then it kind of wrestles with the theological side, the questions, the feelings, the deeper prayers, and the joys that come from a relationship with our Maker. And so in that sense, it's a place for us to kind of regain our ground, to regain our center, and that's the intent. And so today we are in the series within a series because we are going to take our time to go through the 119th Psalm. And as I pointed out, there's 172 verses in this book. Every chapter of 119, every heading is an 8-stanza block that reflects a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? And so every verse of this entire chapter, Psalm 119, talks about God's rules, God's commands, God's testimonies, God's precepts. You know, it is completely surrounded by the focus of the words of God, knowing what has God said, what is he saying? And ironically, this chapter is situated almost directly in the center of the Bible. So we have this really interesting thing to look at, and it has so much symbol, so much metaphor, so much depth, and it's so practical, and it's so real, and it's something I'm inviting you into. So let's get at it. It's our 441st podcast. It's called 119 Deleth. So we're back, like I said in the intro, to the psalm of all psalms, number 119, and today we're going to marinate in the 8 stanzas entitled Deleth, which is the 4th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, some Hebrew scholars point out that this word, Deleth, means door or gate, and that the image of the Hebrew symbolizes a person bowing or bending over, revealing that the way we pass through the gate, the entrance, the portal, is by lowering ourselves. It's by humiliation. It's by being humbled, broken, bending, bowing, right? And humiliation is like almost universally understood in our modern culture as a terrible thing. Like, we have an entire month dedicated to being proud, not humble. And pride throughout Scripture is a horrible sin. To elevate yourself is not the direction of strength. We have 20% of the U.S. is sitting in a therapist office as we speak, trying to sort through the pain of their own humiliations. Like, how many lifelong adult issues, the baggage you carry into adulthood, comes from the humiliations as a child? The rewriting of our culture to get rid of games like dodgeball, to, you know, all the things that used to be part of childhood have been stripped away to create a culture of niceness to avoid the pain of humiliation. And I get it. It is painful. But suffice it to say, the spiritual benefit and the deeper reality is almost completely lost on our modern world. We would rather avoid humiliation. We will avoid going down. We think the path up is up. We take mind-altering drugs at a record rate so that we can feel confident or feel comfortable without actually accomplishing anything that would give us confidence, or without actually taking responsibility so that we could feel comfortable. We numb ourselves to the beauty behind our anxiety instead of being taught by our anxiety. Our culture says that prostrating ourselves, bowing, makes us a victim. It's how you abdicate your personal power to another who's going to oppress you. You become a victim if you bow, so put your fist in the air and raise your voice. But sacred text has been telling us for centuries path down is actually up. And we have to kind of look at this tyrannical soul within us. Look at how people are evolving. The FOMO, the insecurity, and all of the fears and doubts, and just weird, twitchy, short-lived behaviors that are evolving from social media. Like, our soul is lost in there, and it's a tyrant. It's a toddler. And we don't even consider ourselves as we think and behave like this because it's so normalized. Parents have no ability to parent anymore. We just say, oh, well, that's how it is, because how it is so normal, and normal is so broken. We promote and project a false self who knows it doesn't ultimately exist. Why are you taking pictures of your meal and sending it to your friends? To show them what? To show them your trip? To show them how good you're living? Where is our bow? Where is our humility when pride has been championed as a virtue? And this isn't a jab against, you know, LGBTQA or anything like that. I'm talking specifically about the broader sense of pride. And if the psalmist were to speak his words today, it's possible that a mandatory reporter would say something. I mean, a person who feels so bad must need professional help. And this is our clue as to how blind and lost and stupid our culture has become. Our ideology in our culture is to be a people who is never shaped by pain or suffering. And so we create all these rules and all these regulations and all these things for fair play so that nobody hurts. Nobody is a victim. Nobody is oppressed, which is noble in one sense and completely foolish in another. We blame others for our pain. We claim we are oppressed. We have no clue. If you grew up in modern America, you do not know what oppression is, I venture to say. And we never realize these are gifts. Pain, oppression, these are gifts. These are portals through which we find God and truly come to know ourselves. The psalmist starts his first stanza by saying, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Do you get that? Give me life according to your word. The Hebrew reads it like this: she cleaves to the soil, the soul of mine. See, human life is a dialectic reality. It seems like there's two opposing forces that converge into a single reality. That's what a dialectic is. Depth and meaning are on a wavelength or flow whereby the highs are experienced in comparison to the lows, like a wave in the sea. I know you only focus on the crest, but there's the trough below, and together they make the wave. To avoid one is to miss the other. To embrace one is to experience the other. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon put it like this: the dancing is paired to the weeping. Like you know how bad the weeping is because you know how good the dance is. And you know how happy the dance is because you're well acquainted with grief. See, one aspect of our humanity is our inescapable clasp on the bottom. The other aspect is this pinnacle of life, which is possessed as our Maker speaks to us. And our world, who has forsaken God, is consigned to live in the trough of the wave, and we're way too fragile to bear it. And so we come up with all kinds of ways to fix our problems. The psalmist continues, when I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. And so here you have the psalmist saying, here's how I'm figuring it out. And then God answers him, and he's like, oh, wow. Your ways are way better. You actually understand, you know, you are God. And you can see the humility here. Not my way, but your way, God, is the prayer. And so how did a culture that is so phototropic, striving to project ourselves and our lives as a success, how did we become so resistant to authentic self-examination? Or the interrogation of God. Like, we deny it even exists, and God forbid anybody question us. Like, our culture is extremely resistant to looking at ourselves. And we've conflated our image with ourself. We think we are our brand. We seek the right lighting, the right background, and all the likable context. We feign spiritual progress. Like you have all of these talking heads and gurus and TikTokers and video producers, and they have this air of spirituality, and they, you know, but you can't be a 24-year-old life coach, I'm sorry to say. You haven't lived life. You are still a student. You can't teach people financial tools in your 20s when you got lucky with your business. It has to apply to all people or the principle is not learned. You have to prostrate yourself and bow to pass through the gate. But content creators with a selfie stick have no sense the gate even exists. This is our world. And until we bow in our heart, until we humble ourselves from our pride and begin to see our pride and be repulsed by our pride, not proud of it, we will not know who we are on the other side of it because we're living in the front side of the wave. Like the trolley on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, we don't pass into reality from our land of make-believe. So the psalmist continues, "My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Now the Hebrew reads, "She is racked, my soul within me." See, hot wax is placed on a rack to cool. And hot wax holds the basic shape, but gravity kind of has an effect on it. It drips. It seeps. That's the word. It weeps. It drops through. That's the word here. That melting. It holds the basic shape, but it drops through. And it's a metaphor for how the soul knows and is shaped by sorrow. The psalmist is not blaming colonial oppression or the glass ceiling. The psalmist is not looking at institutional isms as a cause for their sorrow. It's not blaming his parents or their upbringing or where they lived or their economic situation for how he feels. None of those scenarios actually have the power to cause his pain. He's figured that out. Most of us have not. The dripping of his soul is not going to cease if all of these things could change, and neither will yours. Strength, not happiness, is what is needed. And strength comes from God and what God has said to you. Like, who would have thought knowing God could make us anti-fragile? And that's exactly what people are revolting to. We are too soft, too weak, too fragile. The generations are too overcome by the slightest little bit of struggle. You get out of college and you can't find your job and you just start TikToking these wah-wah videos. Generation X spent decades trying to get into the workforce. And others did too. And guess what? You can too. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Just figure it out. Work. Get to it. Listen. Learn from it. Become shaped by your oppression, by your circumstances. It will make you a better person, and then you'll enter the workforce ready. The psalmist continues, "Put false ways from me." Like, remember, he's like, wait, I need strength according to your word and your way. Now he's like realizing his way was the false way. Put the false way away from me, God. I don't want to know the wrong way, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. This is my prayer for our younger generations and those who are struggling. You live according to the false way. You are suffering under the immovability of what is true. And until you, like the psalmist, choose the way of faithfulness, until you set God's rules before you, until you cling to your testimonies. Do you see this transformation in the psalmist? He started out, my soul clings to the dust. My soul drips. Now he's saying, I cling to your testimonies and I run in the way of your commandments. Like, if you do this in today's world, you are running in the opposite direction of everyone else, because everyone is running from God's commandments. They have conflated God with religion. They have conflated God's word with Bible preachers who are poor spokesmen for the truth. And so they despise God and his voice and seek to do their own thing and live proud and self-reliant and not dependent on God and his ways. And so you can see that the trajectory of the masses is not the way of the psalmist, and it wasn't in his day either. But this is for you. And maybe that's a consideration that you haven't thought of, but healing, and I mean true healing, is not anesthetizing yourself to your reality. Healing means that we have become real or authentic, like we've figured out who we really are in God. It means we've grown up, but not in a sterile, pristine, idyllic environment with no one to blame, but that we have come through the darkness. We've come through struggle and anxiety and pain and have become shaped by these experiences for the good. And I know that generations before these generations have gone through all of this true suffering, like real suffering. And so as the younger generations are suffering, you don't find a lot of sympathy from Gen X and baby boomers, because why? We all suffered through it. It's the rite of passage. But we have a world that's trying to protect you from that and to keep you from experiencing who you are on the other side of such suffering. Avoiding pain and blaming others for our weaknesses. These are the false ways that our so-called experts claim is how we navigate our hardships. Oh, you feel really anxious? Here, have this drug. This will make you feel right as rain. You don't feel confident? Oh, well, here, let me give you a trophy and tell you you're just as good as everybody else. Do you need a timeout? Everybody has to deal, and we have a culture that doesn't want to deal. These are blind guides teaching false ways, and we have few voices to awaken us to these realities. A blind guide denies God. They deny God's voice, that he's even said anything to us. And thus, our world lacks the GPS coordinates for us to come to know our true self found in God, and the world is led astray. The psalmist seeks to order his life by the rules established by the designer of life. That makes a lot of sense to me. The soul that clings to the dust is now clinging to the testimonies of God. A testimony is a comprehensive framework for all that God is. testimonies speak to God's nature, to who God is, to all he does. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's you've never learned how to see how God works and to trust it. How amazing is this? In the exact moment that we cling to the dust, we can also cling to the essence of who God is. These are not feelings. These are determinations of the mind. These are the overriding of the malware script, which is driving everything into destruction. And this is how we will avoid being put to shame, the scripture says. It's how we avoid missing out on the experience of losing God. Do you see that? The last comment here that I'm going to make is the running toward the commandments. It stands in contrast to our world that runs from them. This isn't a practice we would naturally do. It's something that happens as God enlarges our heart, as the psalmist says. Our heart is that inner self, your true self. We don't find our true self by accomplishing something. Like, your true self is not the gold medal winner, and then if you only get the silver, you never found your true self. The true self is not given to you by an institution of any kind. It's not your job. It's not your income. It's not who you marry. None of those things are who you really are. The world is not able to give that to you, because who you really are is found in God alone. That's why this isn't a practice we would naturally do, running toward those commandments. It's something that happens as God enlarges our inner self, our true self. As he makes our self available, you start to see, oh my gosh, I see now how the word of God speaks to me, and I know that I need that, and I lean into it. In other words, we grow up in God. We mature in human life. We grow in our trust and our dependence upon the commands of God. They're not burdens. They're not killjoys. God is not a buzzkill. If he says no, it's no because that will hurt you, and that will hurt others, and that will hurt our world. No is good for us. God is the path to finding our healing, our authenticity, our maturity. God is our guide through suffering as one who has suffered himself. Do you see that? He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't required of his own son. At some point in everybody's life, we all try this thing called prayer. And with almost little to no faith, we launch a prayer request upward to the great vending machine in the sky. And most of these test prayers come when the ordinary course of things is not palatable to us. We don't want that loved one to die. We don't want this thing we did to come back and ruin our life, because we now know that it can. We always did, but now we realize this is coming back on us. We want an escape from our situation. And so we say, well, maybe God is real. And since nothing natural can get me out of the place I'm in, nothing natural can help me avoid my pain, I will ask God to avoid my pain. And that's the kind of prayer that we throw up to God when we have no sense of who God is. God is not Novocaine. These prayers are for our circumstances. They are not for us, because we think we are the surface self that's praying. It's a false self giving a false prayer. There's nothing real there, and God is perfect truth. And so when they bounce off the ceiling, or when the answer takes longer than Grubhub, we conclude that there is no God. We concluded that I tried it, it doesn't work. And all that is a false self with a false prayer, praying to truth that knows nothing about falsehood. Like, if you would try and find an answer, if you would get an answer to your prayer, if any of us would, we have to be willing to find the end of our fictional life. Like, we got to bow. We have to come to the end of our pride. We have to come to the end of blaming ourselves and blaming others. We have to take responsibility for where we are. And no, not everything is your responsibility. Some of your pain was caused by others. But in that happening, you realize that you cause pain for others, and it humbles you. You see this? We have to get to where we can surrender the outcomes instead of pretending we control them. There is no life coach that's going to level up your life and get you to control the outcomes to everything you want to happen, no matter how much you give them. And all they're going to do is blame you that you didn't put enough effort and output if it doesn't happen. They're still going to charge you, though. You see, the rigidness of reality is the immovability of God. Like, go ahead, push against the mountain. You're not moving it. You will be moved by your own strength. And see, the immovability of God is actually what we need if we are to ever find the end of ourself and the other side of suffering. That's why God is so dependable. But we can't hear it. We can't receive it. We can't trust it. We can't follow it when we're stuck on ourselves, when we think we are the way, we know better, we trust the false way, well, then God's truth will never be heard in your life. You'll never know the path. All you will know is this side of suffering, the bottom, the trough of the wave. If you double down on self-reliance, or you seek some institution to fix it for you or bail you out or feel sorry for you, then the most that any of us will ever get from life is a delusion of reality in the illusion of ourself. So this psalm really speaks to us. Daleth is to bow through the gate. May we humble ourselves and bow through the gate and receive the words of God, which will bring us healing, transformation, and restoration. God bless you as you contemplate these things.